بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. What was the last chapter or the chapter before the last chapter that we have studied?
18.
ما شاء الله. That is the number. What is the chapter?
Oh, what was the chapter talking about?
About
the
one before, the one after that.
About the washing of the waves and that's going to be at least after that.
باب ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينه هو الغلو في الصالحين. We're talking about the غلو regarding the righteous people. What is the difference? What is the relation between the غلو and falling into disbelief? What is the relation of the ghulu in dealing with the righteous people and falling into sin?
I just want to
But the question is, how can a ghulu in dealing with the righteous people lead to shirk?
Because we are making them as prophets
to Allah and with them. What do you think?
I say that any girl overboard with those people, you can, whatever happened is that the people who you see you doing that, going overboard, they don't know why you're doing it. So they can take it as a different way and think that you're worshiping those people.
That is one. What is the story of the people of Lu?
That the people of Lu made statues of the Red Sea and the Red Sea. And after they see the past, Lu can still ask them to be worshipped by the
So, one of the reasons that the son of Adam left their religion and fall into disbelief is the extreme position that they took regarding how they treated the righteous people. And that does not have to be with the righteous people who have died. It could be with the righteous people who are alive. Some people, they exaggerate with their treatment to them, so much so that they think those righteous people, they have some kind of divinity to them. Who can tell me the names of those five people that were in the ayah of Nuh?
What's that?
ساعة ودا وسواعة وسواعة يغوث
نصرة
ويعوث ونصرة والتين نصرة
نصرة
طيب. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تفروني كما أخرق النصارى ابن مريم. What does that mean?
I mean, don't ever praise me as a Christian ever praise Isa ibn Mariam.
Question. Any kind of ghulu will lead to shirk or only ghulu in dealing with the righteous salafi? Or only the ghulu dealing with the righteous people. So any type of ghulu will lead to fall into this belief. So if somebody starts practicing ghulu as far as he is, he prays the entire night, and he does that every day, does that lead to shirk? We cannot say that. The ghulu that we need to shift is the ghulu in reference to being with the Rashi. But the other type of ghulu will lead to destruction. This is why the Prophet said, Allah is the intellectual mutarakhi'un. It will lead to destruction. The next chapter, what is the next chapter? The باب ما جاء في التغليظ في من عبد الله عند قبر رجل صالح فكيف إذا عبده. The condemnation of the one who worships Allah at a grave of a righteous man. So what would be the ruling concerning the one who worships the grave of the righteous man? That was the chapter. No, we have one in that. We did that one. We did this one. What is the hadith that was mentioned in this book, in this chapter?
The hadith of Ibn Salama.
From the Salama?
He said that when he in Abyssinia, when a righteous person died, that what they would do is they would build a mosque and put pictures and statues in it.
Taking a grave as a nephew. How does it take place? How is the issue take place? So do they have to take the masjid or just by praying in that area?
No, because the false way of saying is that the whole earth was given to him as a masjid. So, which doesn't necessarily mean that the whole earth is a mosque is built over it. That this is a place where it's president.
So people go and meet, pray, they take this grave and they pray in that area. Is that taking that place as a mystery?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be proud of your knowledge. Yes, with certainty. Try to get information from you, you have to be solid in your knowledge. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a khalid?
Yes.
It will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to Allah. Now we move on to the next chapter, the chapter after that. باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يصيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. This chapter that exaggeration concerning the grave of the righteous people will turn those graves into أوثان that is worshipped beside Allah سبحانه وتعالى. This is the chapter. Dealing with the grave of the righteous or graves in general, people sometimes exaggerate or underrate. Whereas the religion of Islam taught us not to exaggerate in dealing with the grave and not to underrate. Underrate the grave implies for the people to humiliate the grave and not take care of the grave. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ forbids us from sitting on the grave, from defecating on the grave, because that would be underrating and disrespecting the grave. Also, the Prophet ﷺ forbids us from exaggeration in dealing with the grave. Thus he forbids his nation from writing on the grave, or from building it with making it look nice, and lining it. You know how people line the grave and make it look white and they line it. Nowadays, if you go to every grave route, every grave has a big, what is it called, the shadow?
Well,
yeah. has a name to it. And they write on it the name of that person, when he was born, when he was died, what he did in his life, and they tell you an entire story about him. And that thing is usually made out of marble, knife, and they put it over there. And that is dealing with exaggeration in the grave. This exaggeration in the grave, it will lead to turn those graves into watan. Al-watan, waw ta noon, is everything that is worshipped other than Allah Azza wa Jal, being it a tree or a grave. Where is a sanam is the statue. So every sanam is a weapon, but not every weapon is a sanam. Mm-hmm. Sanam is a statue. Sanam, no, fad. Fad. Fad, noon, leaf. The first hadith in this chapter, it was narrated by Imam Malik رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. O Allah, do not make my grave into a weapon which is worshipped, because Allah is greatly angry with the people who make the grave of their prophet into masajid. So we have in this hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua to Allah azza wa jal not to make his grave into a weapon that is worshipped. Do you think Allah answered the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not?
I believe that Allah answered the dua in a way that we don't know about.
No, the dua was not answered, obviously.
But, I mean,
because we see a lot of people who go to the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they make dua to the Prophet. So since the Prophet makes this dua, that does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer this dua. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was reported that he made dua for things, and they did not answer. Also Ibrahim, he made dua for things, and they did not answer. Because then Allah is greatly angry with those who turn the grave of their prophets into the masajid. This hadith is a sunnah hadith. And from also in this hadith we have a benefit that one of the attributes of Allah that he gets angry. And this anger is not similar to the anger of the son of Adam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we always repeat, nothing like unto him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. And there is great difference between the anger of the son of Adam and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. One difference, the anger of the son of Adam might be for something which is good and might be for something that is evil. And the anger of the son of Adam may bring good consequences, and most of the time it brings evil consequences. But the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal always brings good consequences. The second is ولأبن الجرير بسنده عن سفيان عن منصور عن مجاهد في قوله تعالى أفرأيتم اللات على قراءة واللات والعزى على قراءة قال كان يلج لهم الصويط فمات فعكفوا على قبره. It says in this tafsir, the tafsir of narrated in the Tafsir of Ibn Jarir, according to Sufyan, according to Mansur, according to Mujahid. Mujahid is the student of Ibn Abbas. He studied with Ibn Abbas and he told him and he reviewed with him the Quran. And he asked him about everything in the Quran. He said in the Tafsir of Ara'aytum, have you considered, have you seen Allah or Allah? The lamb has tajdeed or the ta has tajdeed on it in one qira'ah, in one recitation, and the other recitation does not have the tajdeed. And the qira'ah with Allah with the tajdeed on it. Allah min yalut. Yalut ya'jib. This man, it was a man who was a righteous man who used to make food for those who come for Hajj. He will take the grain and he will toast the grain and mix it with water. That will be yalut al-sawi. He used to do that and offer to the people who make Hajj. After he died, the people buried him and they started visiting and furnishing the grave. Then the people turned his grave into a weapon. And the other qira'ah, al-lata, is this qira'ah where it says al-lata bil-taqeer, it means the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the derivative of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they took this derivative and they named the statue from it. So at any rate, this taqeer is sawir. الحنطة المحمصة يحمص الحنطة ويلفها مع السمن ويطعمها بالماء. And from this hadith we see how the people who exaggerated in the grave of that righteous person and that was for them to make a weapon out of him. One thing that was mentioned which is worth considering, we see the people in the day of Jahiliyyah, when the Hajj, when the people came to make Hajj, they used to prepare food for them and offer it to them for free. Also the people used to compete who would take the water from Zamzam and give the people the water. Now they, when you go to Hajj, people can see how they can extract the money out of you, not how they can be hospitable to you. So things will be a certain price in the time of Hajj, they will overprice everything. This is something for people to consider. And this was mentioned in the explanation of the book of Al-Tawqeed, Al-Qawm Yusid ala Kitab Al-Tawqeed. The second or the third evidence in this chapter is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma قال لعن رسول الله زائرات القبور والمتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج. In this hadith is Allah's Messenger cursed the women who visit the grave and cursed those who cast moss and light over graves. This hadith is da'if. We know the da'if hadith because it was announced da'if in Tahdhir al-Sajid min Istifadah al-Qubur al-Sajid bil Al-Bani. But there is another hadith that has a part of this hadith where it says لعن الله دوارات القبور. Allah cursed and both women who visit the grave with great repetition. Because those women who visit the grave with a great repetition, that might lead to shirk after that. They go, they sit, they cry, they make du'a, they do a lot of things and that might lead to shirk. But visiting the grave is permissible. But not for the women to involve in a great repetition in visiting the grave. Having said that, we have finished this chapter and we end the issue, inshallah. Can you read the issue for us?
Of what? Siraj.
Explanation of idols. The idol meaning the weapon. Explanation of worship. Meaning explanation of worship. What is worship? Worship is, now there's no, worship is to surrender and to adhere to the worship. So when those people surrender and adhere to the weapon, they are worshiping the weapon.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not seek refuge in Allah except when that which he feared would occur.
Yes. And we said it may have occurred when the people go and worship and by calling upon the Prophet.
The Prophet joining this supplication, i.e., O Allah, never tear my grave, was taking the grave of Prophets and Messengers. Mention of the intense wrath of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Of most importance to the description as to how the worship of that one of the major pre-Islamic idols was started.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge that Lat was the grave of a righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
Lat was the name of a person buried in that grave, and the mention of the meaning behind the idol being named such. Curse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the women who visit the grave.
But that is not for the women who visit the grave, but those women who visit the grave with a petition. As far as the issue of fiqh relating to, is it permissible for the woman to visit the grave, you find the truth connected with that issue that it is permissible for her to visit the grave if she is visiting the grave according to the criterion of al-Islam, without the barrage and without fitness. And if she is benefiting from visiting the grave, because the Prophet said, visit the grave, it will remind you of the hereafter, in the after.
The Prophet ﷺ cursed upon those who put up light on the grave.
It applies, they put the lanterns on the grave and they put lights on it, and that would make it the path of attraction. The next chapter is the chapter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the protectiveness of al-Mustafa of Tawheed, and he's blocking every path leading to shirk. باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى جناب التوحيد وسده كل طريق يوصل إلى الشرك. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came to establish Tawheed, he protected that Tawheed which he established. Is it not? Yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who came to establish Tawheed, he established Tawheed and he protected that Tawheed. And he blocked every way that will lead to shirk. So Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, established the Tawheed and every road that will lead to shirk, he blocked it off. So people will remain in Tawheed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were several hadith and ayat mentioned in this chapter, two hadith and one ayah. The ayah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. In this ayah of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a messenger came to you from amongst yourself. It's difficult for him, for you to experience difficulty. And he is protective of the believer and merciful and kind. If the people turn away, say, sufficient is Allah, there is no God but him, upon him I depend, and he is the Lord, the Rabb of the great Arsh. So from this ayah, since it's difficult and the Prophet for us to experience difficulty, that means he did everything for us not to experience difficulty. And the most difficulty we might experience is in falling into shirk. And he is Ra'uf al-Rahim for us. So this is the nature of the Prophet, therefore we say he protected the Tawheed for us. The hadith that is mentioned in here, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah, he said, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا ولا تجعلوا قبري عيدا وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم تبلغني حيث كنتم. This is hadith sahih, it was in sahih al-jami'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't turn your houses into graveyards. And do not turn my grave into a Eid, into a celebration. And send your salat over me. Nevertheless, your salat reaches me no matter where you are. So this hadith, the first sentence of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, do not turn our houses into graves. And that has two meanings to it. The first meaning that if somebody dies, we do not bury him into the house that he died in, because that would be turning the household into a graveyard. That will lead to the family of that deceased, every time they see the grave, they monitor that grave. 2 days later somebody say, well, I dreamt he came out of the grave, he sat with us, and all those stories start coming up. And before you know it, he is being a worship grave. And the second meaning of this hadith is connected with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not, it's connected with the forbidding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to pray in the graveyard. If we do not pray in our houses, we will make our houses similar to the graveyard, because we are not praying in them. So this is the other meaning, and both of those meanings are correct. So people cannot bury their relatives in the household, in the family, in the house that they were in, not the household, in the house, in the residence. If somebody lives in the house, somebody dies, you cannot bury them in the backyard, in the front yard. That will be turning that house into a graveyard. The second meaning is we do not abandon prayer in our houses. That would make our houses similar to the graveyard. So that is understood. I think the misunderstanding came by saying household instead of a house. Do you understand the meaning? And the Prophet said, do not turn my grave into a Eid. Do not turn my grave into a place where you come and celebrate that place. Or do not make a time, specific time, that everybody has to come and visit my grave at that time. That would be turning the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into a Eid. And in the end of this hadith, the Prophet said something that will oblige the way for the people to turn the grave of the Prophet into a Eid. Many people will think, well, we're going to make salah to the Prophet. And the best place for us to do that if we are next to his grave. The Prophet blocked that. And he said, you make salah to me and your salah will reach me no matter where you are. Because in another hadith, it was said in this hadith in Sahih al-Jami' that there was an angel whose duty is to convey to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the salah of his nation. What does the salah of the people of Muhammad to him? It means asking Allah to praise him and to mention him in the high companionship, in al-Rafiq al-A'la. Also the second hadith is similar to that, لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا ولا بيوتكم قبورا وصلوا عليا فإن تسلي لكم يطلبني أين كنتم. It has the same meaning. So the same thing that we said concerning the first hadith, we say concerning the second hadith. And having said that, inshallah, we move into the issue concerning the chapter.
Explanation of the verse in Surah Bara'ah.
This is لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ
أَنْفُسِكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what we said. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did his best to keep his ummah far away from the boundaries of shirk as far as possible. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's concern for our well-being and success and his compassion and mercy.
That is حَرِيْفٌ عليكم الله سبحانه وتعالى حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم.